Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Open lines, 248-539-9797. All right, so yesterday was the 20-year anniversary of the Tuck Rule game. If you don't know what the Tuck Rule game is, it was an NFL playoff game between the New England Patriots and the Oakland Raiders. And Charles Woodson came on a blitz late in the game with the Patriots trailing 13-10. Sacked Tom Brady, who was in the motion of throwing, but looked like he was pulling the ball in to not throw, like it was a pump fake or he changed his mind. He got hit. The ball came out, recovered by the Raiders to seal the game, got reviewed, and they ruled that it was an incomplete pass. And then was cited as the Tuck Rule. Anyway, Patriots went on to win in overtime and went on to win the Super Bowl that year, I believe. But that's not the point. The point is ESPN announced it's coming out with a 30 for 30 on that game, and I think it's February 6th it debuts. It's just going to be – and now if you don't know about 30 for 30, 30 for 30 is – probably ESPN's longest-running documentary series. They have E60 now, and they have other formats, which I don't know why they just don't call it all 30 for 30 or all E60, because it's basically the same thing. But it's their longest-running documentary series, and they're usually really good. I have minimal interest in revisiting the Tuck Rule game. I'll probably watch it because they usually do a good job, and sometimes they unearth a lot of stuff that hasn't been heard before.
Yeah, it's only, to me, I guess it only matters if there's something that I didn't know before or something salacious, like, you know, somebody's got a real strong opinion about this. Might be interesting because Gruden was the coach of the Raiders at the time, right?
I believe so, yeah.
So, I mean, you get Gruden talking. I mean, nobody's heard from John Gruden in a long time, yeah. So it might be interesting.
Yeah, and I mean, maybe people here locally care because it's Brady or Woodson that were involved. But here's the deal. So they're coming out with this 30 for 30 on this game. And it got us thinking in the office about what game you would most like to see a 30 for 30 attack. You know, a 90-minute documentary or a two-hour documentary on what really happened there.
Locally.
Yeah, we decided not to limit to local because we almost feel like we'll see a lot of the same stuff mentioned, but here's the one thing we got to keep in mind. A lot of the stuff that would be most interesting locally has already been attacked and already been dissected. The March 26th hockey game between the Red Wings and the Colorado Avalanche. ESPN hasn't done a 30 for 30 on it, but that's been pretty well documented. The imperfect game with Armando Galarraga has been pretty well documented. So we're kind of looking for other games that would really be fascinating here. And it can be local. It doesn't have to be. We decided we wouldn't limit it to that. But that maybe deserve the total documentary dissection. And we came away with a couple. Kang, in fact, as we talked this out, you came up with a great one. And you have to remember, it's got to be more than just a dramatic game. There has to be storylines that go with, right, to make it mass appeal and what really happened here, et cetera. And yours is a good one.
Yeah, mine was the Jets versus the Lions, the game that Barry Sanders went over 2,000 yards, the game that also clinched the playoffs for the Lions, the game that also saw Reggie Brown get hurt. And by the way, there was other stuff that happened in the game that I was telling Doug about that he didn't remember. And so I think a good 30 for 30 for, and kind of an underrated, of course, nationally they might not care as much, but for here local we do care. But there was that national aspect of Barry going over 2,000, the Reggie Brown injury. I brought up to you the fact that Bryant Westbrook had an interception in the end zone that was not an interception. This is before review, replay, all that stuff. He clearly did not have possession of the ball, was out of bounds. The refs ruled it in favor of the Lions. That's right. One time the Lions did get a call go their way, and it would just be interesting to see just more into that game, if there is more. You know, NFL films usually films every, you know, every game. So things like that, interviews with all the guys. And by the way, when I look back at that roster, they looked great.
The Lions
look
great.
I know we don't have much to go off of, right, Doug? But every time I saw a player, I was like, Kevin Glover, he's great.
Yep.
Oh, Mark Carey, he was good, right? Porche, good.
We brought it up on YouTube. The whole game's up on YouTube. That Brian Westbrook interception is borderline hilarious. In today's day and age, the replay would have taken all of 4 seconds. No, that's incomplete. And it was with the Jets deep in Lions territory. It was in the end zone, deep in Lions territory.
First and goal.
In a 13-10 game.
Yeah.
In a 13-10 game. And they run the halfback pass. And Westbrook, it was clearly not an interception. The Reggie Brown storyline, I mean, anybody who was at that game, I don't know if this has happened to you before. Being at that game, there were so many, like the Lions need to win to make the playoffs. Barry had a chance at 2000, and those storylines were overwhelming. It felt like a real, like, I get to be there. Like, I really felt, and I was in the stands. It was just as a fan. And when Reggie Brown got hurt, I suddenly didn't care. I was like, did this guy, is he going to be okay? Like, that's all I cared about. And it happened kind of late in the game.
And you see Johnny Morton, and I forget who the other player was.
I think it was Kevin Glover.
Both grabbing the stretcher.
It was Johnny Morton and Herman Moore. Both ran out together to get the stretcher from the tunnel. Yeah, it was fantastic to see everything come together like that. And of course, thankfully, Reggie Brown was able to recover from that. Never play football again. But that game, you're right, Kang. That game is amazing in so many ways. And it's, you know, mentioned before in my bathroom, I have different posters from Detroit events over the years from the Free Press. And that's one of them that hangs in there is that day that they beat the Jets. And at the end of the season, Barry breaking the 2000 barrier. And then the sad part of the Reggie Brown story. And there was a story in the paper about how the Lions and the Jets can actually commiserate about this because the Jets went through the same thing with, was it Dennis Byrd?
Yeah.
With their player. So it was just interesting. All those storylines tying together and, you know, Lions making the playoffs. And I remember that season we had the Lions and, you know, we're getting excited for a playoff game. And yet at the same time, this sucks. Reggie Brown's not going to be there anymore. From a playing standpoint, Reggie Brown was coming into his own. He had a really good season that year, and you felt the promise of, hey, Lions got one right here. This is good. I mean, I think Jeff Hardings was the other first-round pick that they had. They had the two first-round picks, and it took Brown and Hardings, and both were really good players. Like, they got it. And then tragedy strikes.
248-539-9797. What is a game that you would like to see a 30-for-30 on? The whole story, the dissection, it doesn't have to be local. Obviously, it being local ones will come to mind. But what would it be for you? And these are ones that kind of have it. We know the imperfect game. We know March 26th, Red Wings Avalanche. What else? I got one that's just weird. When I look in the record books and see this, I just raise my eyebrow and go, did that really happen? And Evan's got a great one. What would you like to see? 30 for 30. Get the documentary dissections. Carson Anderson, 97.1. The Ticket. Some good ones coming in. We gave Kang and Evan the first crack at this, and I think Kang's is awesome. Week 17 against the Jets back in 1997. A game that just is, I mean, it's kind of an infamous one in Detroit history because of the Reggie Brown injury that ended his career, but at the time it felt like a life and death situation. You had the players grabbing the stretcher. You had the Barry going over 2,000. Again, we watched it this morning. Do you remember how he went over 2,000? Exactly how it happened?
I do, actually. He went over 2,000 with a normal run, then got hit for a loss to go back below 2,000, and then ripped off like a 46-yard run.
Close, yeah. Very close. He did not get hit for a loss. They talked about him getting hit for a loss. He had a normal run. And it took them like forever to determine, was it 2 full yards? Like the ref spotted the ball and then they were talking and then somebody brought out another ball. They changed it out and gave it to Barry. And Barry, His dad was on the sidelines with a cigar.
That was the best.
His dad is on the field with a cigar, and they took the ball over to him, and then the next run he clipped off for like 53 yards, was it, Ken?
But finished with 2,053 yards in the season.
Yeah, because the next run was for 53 yards down to the 3-yard line. He left the field, they took the knee, and won the game because it was right at the end. But that would be a great 30 for 30 for us here in Detroit. Evans was equally good, in my opinion. Game 2 of the 2013 American League Championship Series and everything that happened in that game, including a called strike that Max Scherzer swears was a strike, had been called a strike all game, and was called a ball that I think it would have either ended the inning or really snuffed out the rally for the Red Sox. But he did not get that call. And I remember hearing Scherzer complain about it later, and I went back and looked at it and was like, wow, they didn't call that a strike, huh? And that was a game where the Tigers were up, was it 4-1? And seventh, eighth inning, and David Ortiz hit a grand slam. Now, the story would be about Torrey Hunter going over the wall. The story would be about the cop standing in the bullpen with his arms in the air.
Right.
The story would be about an Iglesias double play ball where he didn't get the double play. Iglesias was like known for being a defensive wizard. And all the things that went into that game, I'm not expecting these things to have national appeal. I'm just talking about what we'd like to see here in Detroit. It was a painful, painful loss.
Very painful.
Was it Joaquin Benoit that gave up the home run eventually?
I think it was Benoit.
Yeah. Yep. Anyway, 248-539-9797. What would you like to see?
Well, for me, it goes back to 2011. And this was, let me just make sure I have the correct date, July 31st, 2011, on a warm summer's day at Comerica Park. The Tigers with Justin Verlander on the hill taking on the Angels of Anaheim.
This is a great one.
With Jared Weaver. Everything that goes into that game, Verlander had a no-hitter going into the eighth inning. He had walked a few batters. He committed an error. I think he committed an error when tried to bunt maybe, or somebody tried bunting in the game to get the first hit, and Verlander threw it wild, I think. They got on base. They ended up getting one hit in the game and two runs, the Angels did. But, of course, what we all remember is what happened before that, and that was the fireworks that happened when Magaly Ordóñez hit a home run in the seventh inning to give the Tigers a 3-0 lead. And he wasn't sure if the ball was out, so he's kind of looking at the ball. Wasn't Cadillacing, but clearly Jared Weaver didn't like the fact that Magaly was taking his time getting to first base, let alone rounding the bases. So he gets upset, and of course, Carlos Guillen
is a great one.
Does what he does, and it was just spectacular for him. Actually, he had hit the home run in the third inning, but Guillen it hit the home run off of Weaver in the seventh inning. It was the Weaver home run that really got him pissed because Carlos had the bat flip, the stare down, the crow hop around the bases, and then Weaver throws at Alex Avila, the next batter, throws right at his head, which you can't do, gets ejected. It was just a fantastic, fantastic game.
I still think there's one game that I look up in the record books and go, that happened? That happened? How did that happen? And that is, the Lions lost a playoff game 5-0. I want to know how the hell you lose a playoff game 5-0. It's probably not that exciting.
Field goal and a safety.
Right, got it. It's probably not that exciting. It's probably...
Also happened a million years ago.
It did happen a million years ago. But that's one that, when I look in the record books, I laugh. They lost a playoff game 5-0. But probably one that would warrant a 30 for 30. Because of the characters involved, the Hail Mary that beat Michigan, and it would be more about the Colorado team. Because running down the field when that ball got tipped up in the air was Ray Carruth. Ray Carruth was on the field for that. Rashawn Salaam, who tragically committed suicide, was on the field for that. For
the Heisman Colorado Trophy team.
Won the Heisman Trophy. Michael Westbrook has a pretty crazy story.
Well, he's from Detroit.
Yep.
Makes the play, and then in the NFL
play itself, warrants a huge dissection. But the characters involved, when you start talking about the potential 30 for 30.
Cordell Stewart throwing the ball.
Yep, Cordell Stewart's career.
Throwing a 70-yard pass up in the air. I mean, it was a lot to it.
There was a lot to it. But anyway, 248-539-9797. Let's talk to the people in a moment.
Just one quick thing before you go to the phones. A texter texted us in. I had to make sure it was true. So after Barry, for my game, was the 1997 game with the Jets, right? Lions-Jets, Barry goes over 2,000 yards.
Yep.
That long run. Would that put him way over 2,000, like a 46-yard, 50-yard run or whatever he had?
Yep.
You know who tackled him?
No.
It'd have to be somebody from, well, obviously somebody
the Jets.
From the Jets, right. No, who?
Aaron Glenn.
No kidding. That's amazing.
Are you serious?
Yes! Aaron freaking Glenn. Like,
that's
this
awesome.
Is hilarious. Like, it just, it's weird, right?
You know, one of the great things, it
Lions defensive coordinator right now, it was Aaron Glenn.
Here's something. The Jets. This would be a fun thing to do. And now that you're bringing this up, because it brings up another story with me with regards to Barry, is to just talk to different NFL players that played against Barry Sanders, and you ask them, what's your Barry moment? And people will give you amazing stories. Like,
they're the best.
They had no idea that was Aaron Glenn, right?
Yeah.
Aaron Glenn could come out and say, you know when he ran for 2,000 yards? Yeah. I made the tackle to save the touchdown.
I just watched it
when he stopped him. And I bring this up because years ago when I was in 1998, I was doing a pregame show for Michigan State football, and Harlan Barnett was our sideline reporter. And I said to Harlan, I said, you got any Barry Sanders stories? And he starts shaking his head, and he goes, why you got to bring this up? I'm like, well, I'm asking the question, man. I mean, you played in the NFL for 10 years. You got a Barry story. He's like, yeah. Remember that awesome highlight of Barry Sanders running down the sidelines against the Patriots, and he turns that player inside out. He spins him around. I'm like, yeah, it's a classic. He goes, that was me. I said, oh, man. I'm like, but you had a great career, Harley. He's like, yeah, but you got to ask me about the one play that like is devastating to me. So I think if you could just talk to different players throughout the 90s that played against Barry Sanders, that would be, I think, a fascinating thing to do, because everyone's got a different story about a single play or a single moment about Barry Sanders.
Well, anyway, what would you like to see? That's great that it's Aaron freaking Glenn that made the tackle, the Lions defensive coordinator. Steve in Rochester, you're on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Steve.
Hey, you guys. You know, that would be good there, Gator, because they had a conversation with Lynch about that with Tampa Bay, and he got flipped around like twice, and he said, I thought I was going to break my ankle. It just, he made everyone look that way until he got like the 1 yard loss.
Well, you can have three plays in a row there for loss, and then fourth play you give it to him, and he's gone for 70 yards and a touchdown. He was amazing.
Exactly. I know, with a cloud of AstroTurf. But, you know, the key thing for me would be if they could do a 30 for 30 starting in like when Barry was drafted and go to the middle of the 90s and compare what happened between Dallas and Detroit, because when Dallas and Detroit played each other in a playoff game, it was whoever wins this is going to have the upper hand on being like the head of the NFC. And it looked like it was going that way. And then there was so much the tragedies like Eric Andersack getting hit by a truck in his front yard.
Mike Utley.
I mean, Mike Utley. And then getting Pat Swilling and then giving up a potential. We didn't know at the time, but still a Hall of Famer.
Willie Roaf.
And he did nothing for it. And then, seriously, the buffoon of a coach we had for a long time, but we just kept him because it was just, I don't know, maybe the force thought he was a good guy to have around. I don't know. But there's so many. And then to see Dallas and put him side by side and see what it was going to be like, I'm telling you, that could go a whole week.
It would be fascinating. And to go back and how they built that team, you know, they drafted Rodney Pete. I think in the sixth round, and that was a chance because a lot of people thought Rodney Pete was going to play baseball, but he ended up playing in the NFL, and he was pretty good. And yet the Lions also had Eric Kramer and then Bob Galliano. They drafted Andre Ware, who was the Heisman Trophy winner in 1990. You know, just to have, like, who's going to be the quarterback of this team? And they end up letting the guy go, Eric Kramer, who ends up being the best of the bunch.
Just imagine this weekend, Buffalo's playing Kansas City, both with really good young quarterbacks, second year in a row they're in the playoffs. And the announcers say something like, you know, these two teams, both good young nucleuses, going to be around for, they're going to battle for the AFC for a long time. And, like, Kansas City stays there and Buffalo just disappears like that. That's right. What happened to the Lions. Because that's, I remember kind that of. Being, I remember Pat Summerall saying something to that effect. These are the two teams of the future in the NFC, and they're both just getting started.
Yeah, and you know,
Dallas
both teams,
won multiple Super Bowls. And
both teams built through the draft, but that the 89 draft, Aikman's first overall pick, and, you know, Barry goes to the Lions with the third pick or whoever it was. That was, you know, those were the cornerstones, right? But one's a quarterback and one's a running back, and that is the difference. So when it comes to, like, Buffalo and Kansas City, I really hope what we have is the next Manning-Brady thing for the next 10 years to watch, because that'll be great.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.